How can we keep doing this? That's what the voice inside my head says as I break away from your gaze and focus on my husband's red, inebriated face sitting next to me at our dining room table. His bloviating mouth thundering on about too much regulation. He's holding court with his band of sycophants. You used to be one, way back when. In fact, you're the oldest of his disciples. That is, until you became Judas. But it wasn't for silver. It was for flesh. My flesh. I have to drop my head at the memory of our skin colliding in a clumsy whirl. The moment we both gave in. Gave in to the seduction that began building the moment you took my hand to help me out of a car all those years ago. I didn't know it then, though. Back then, I was still convinced that everything I was big enough to appease the town's most notorious womanizer. I still don't know if I'm impressed with my witless confidence or sickened by my naive hubris. Youthful ignorance aside, I held true to him over all those years, watching one affair after another end in streaked mascara and wounded souls. I almost felt sorry for them until I remembered that they had brought this upon themselves. I had to remind myself that I had done the same. All the while, you helped me in and out of countless cars, held an unknown number of doors for me, pulled out my chair in the most expensive restaurants in the world, arranged for my comfort and provided the smallest kindnesses when you could. Appropriate kindnesses. Only appropriate. Though, we both knew those small things meant more to both of us for different reasons. Every lingering thumb on the back of my hand, every gentle touch as you swept a stray hair from my face. Each one living, breathing sexual encounter more powerful than anything I'd experienced with my legs spread. I could see your pity, your desire written over every single touch. If I were yours. If I were yours, I'd answer back with my eyes. I'd be no better than him. I never could quite meet your gaze without averting my eyes. Ashamed that you could see my pain. Terrified that you could see what I was really thinking. That someday, I wouldn't care if I was better than him. One day, I would only care that I was better off for leaving him. We live in a big house, the Bloviator and I, the kind of big house that has grounds and small stone sheds where any number of tools and supplies are kept. You and I know that. We know that we could peel off from the crowd and duck into one of them without anyone noticing. No one is here for us anyway. In fact, they'd probably be relieved to see us go. That's how it happened last time anyway. The first time. Something shifted. The need to be loved the right way became too great. I caught your eye as I left the cocktail party. A cocktail party in honor of my husband's latest financial achievement. His latest conquest hovering shamelessly by his side, hoping she'd be the one to crack the wife code and finally convince him to leave me. My eyes begged you to follow me, and you did. All I had to do was wait until the attention was elsewhere and slip out the door. No one would even notice. At least I didn't think they would, and you must have agreed because You followed shortly after without a word passed between us. So now, as I sit at my ostentatious dining room table with my gluttonous husband by my side, I'm surrounded by men and women who view me as no more than an ornament. A spineless half-wit who's either too dumb to acknowledge her husband's infidelity or too cowardly to face him in a divorce. Either way, I'm not someone to be respected. It's the sting of this realization that propels me into the memory. I remember how rough the weathered wood door felt on my fingertips and the creak it made as it swung open. I remember the inky, cool interior as I stepped over the threshold. And I remember the smell of earth and moss and everything natural and right as I felt you behind me. The gust of air that tickled my calves when the door whooshed closed behind us. And the damp heat of your panting breaths infecting me with depraved anticipation. I remember the feel of your nose gliding along the curve of my neck and my body twisting to meet your lips. My mouth was yours, then my hips, then my cunt. Fast, bungling need, the freeing of a pressure valve that would not be stopped. 10 minutes and a lifetime. That was our timeline. You said nothing because I knew all the words. You knew how to make me yours in a way he couldn't, even if he had bothered to try. I was yours in a way that made comparing his infidelity to mine a sacrilege. You claimed my body before I could give it to you, and I came, biting your shoulder to conceal a long building scream. I whimper as I remember those moments, every moan, every growl, and my unloving bloviator grimaces. And yet, the memory is insatiable. You filling me up, the heat of your desire painting the walls of my once empty void with hot, sticky warmth. I can't bring myself to feel guilty. It's like I've been saving myself for marriage for you. All I want is to be alone with you. To give you what's yours as I deny him what he thinks he's entitled to. So right here, with him sitting at my side, I write the story of our next encounter. I lift my eyes and find yours waiting on my response, and I beg you to be patient. I know how this will play out. The whole group will retire to the game room, and my devoted husband will continue to pontificate until the wife of one of his associates fakes a headache and excuses herself. As if on cue, my husband will decide it's time for bed. Since the main attraction is no longer there, people will start to peel off one by one until you and I are the only ones left. We're used to that by now. It's almost a custom. You always hang around and help me close up the house. Except this time, I'll decide that I need some fresh air and you'll offer to go with me. To keep me safe. I'll decide that a moonlit meadow is the place where we'll revisit our surrender. And this time, instead of wondering if you'll follow, I'll be waiting for you. Undressing in full view of the moon and the sky and the one who made us for one another. This time, I'll feel the slow grate of your fingers on my skin, running down my neck, along my collarbone. I'll feel ginger hands on my tits and your thumb graze across my defenseless nipple. I'll see your gaze upon my naked, moonlit body. I'll see you wondering if it was crafted by magic. My hands, sure and focused, remove your jacket, unbutton your shirt and pants. Slide my hands across your flesh, feeling the heat and the way it locks into the energy from my fingertips. Your mouth on my neck, my shoulder, my collarbone, my cheek, on my nipple. Your hands sliding down the front of my body and burrowing into the drenched flesh between my legs. And I moan and whimper and howl your name. I can see the pure, primal look in your eye when you raise your fingers to your lips and taste me for the first time. And my hand finds your cock. The skin hot and silky smooth, wet on the tip and so hard I can barely wrap my hand around it. You moan again as I drop to my knees and breathe you in. My lips grazing across the head and licking your saltiness from them. You moan my name and I push you further into my mouth. And I can feel your back tensing and your ass tighten. Your hands in my hair pushing yourself in and out of my mouth, gentle but greedy. I can hear it in your breath, the panting and how you are desperately trying to hold back. This might be our only chance. The one time we have before reality sweeps our moonlight reverie away. In one smooth motion, you're on your knees and wrapping your arms around me. I don't know how, but we're on the ground now, the smell of dirt and grass and sex floating on thick summer air. Your mouth is so warm, so soft, as you use your tongue to part my lips, breaching the walls of what was always yours. Tasting the breath you've taken away in those wordless moments that linger in space and time. Your hands cradle my head, controlling the direction and momentum of our kiss. There's a momentary pause as you lift your head and ask, as if you need to. Yes, is all I'm able to whisper, trembling and buzzing with anticipation for what's about to come. Legs part, hips raise. Nothing has ever been more important, more necessary, more real, more inescapable. In an instant, the ruins of my broken home collapse open and invite you in. Animated by nothing more than desire, my body gives itself to you, pulled along by the tide of everything I ever wanted, by sacrificing everything I ever had. You pant and moan. You growl in my ear and I can feel you swell between my legs. And I'm helpless. All I want is to break apart even more. Give you the last shreds of what I am. Memorize every electric impulse and pray that the memory doesn't break me. But you do. You break me. You break me free with every thrust, and I howl in appreciation. Clamping down on you, holding you until you have no choice but to break too. We've always been broken together anyway. Only this time, we did it by choice. My illicit daydream is interrupted by the simultaneous sounds of my husband's silverware being dropped on the table and his chair being shoved back, signaling his exit. He doesn't bother to address me. He just leaves me in his wake to smile and nod as people begin to follow him out the door. And there we are, motionless in a spinning room, dining alone. We've been alone the whole time. They just never knew it.